Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
You've been listening to the Seed of Faith brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that each week you take time to listen to these messages. It's our hope that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and sow seeds of faith. You can join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. But many of you can't join us in person. You can join our live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific time and worship, fellowship, grow in grace. And if you miss all those, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is the Seed Christian Fellowship. Watch some of our weekly messages, our children's messages. We have little short messages. My prayer is that you'll know God's love and grow in Christ's grace. We have a lot of readings today, and I've titled this message, Resurrection Reconciliation. Boy, two powerful words, Resurrection Reconciliation. We're going to read John 21, 15 to 25. Before we do, let's have a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we open your living word, we pray that your living word would be active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word would shape us, mold us, and fashion us. In Jesus' name, amen. John 21, 15 to 25. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. Only he said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Excuse me. Let us enter into the scene described here. The disciples had been up all night fishing. These aren't just disciples turned fishermen. These are fishermen turned disciples. Their main occupation had been fishing. After Jesus was crucified and buried, these old fishermen went out at night. They fished all night long and caught a whopping absolutely nothing. A man now appears on the shore and invites them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. Where does this guy think he is? Reluctantly, they oblige and end up catching so many fish that they can barely haul the net back into the boat. John declares that the guy on the shore has to be Jesus. Peter throws off his clothes, jumps into the water, and swims 100 yards to the shore. The rest of the disciples follow in the boat with a net full of fish. Jesus has now invited all of them to come to the fire and eat breakfast. Imagine old, wet, tired disciples sitting around the campfire. In the foreground is a rocky beach. The principal characters are Jesus, Peter, and 6 other disciples. Here's what I imagine. Jesus was on his back to the blue. Jesus has his back to the blue sea and is standing in a soft glow of the fire. The smoke from the fire floats slowly around the disciples. No one is saying anything because, well, they've all figured out that the man standing in front of them is their Lord and Savior, Jesus. What do you think Peter was thinking? For us to truly understand what is about to happen in the story, we need to go back a few weeks. Jesus had taken his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. And there he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he said. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered him. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church." Ekklesia is the Greek word there. Ekklesia, the called out ones. "And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Notice that Jesus has called Peter the rock because Peter has declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The story continues with Jesus bringing his disciples to Jerusalem for the Passover. This is when Jesus gathered the disciples in the upper room, washed their feet, and gave them a new commandment to love one another. Jesus has now told his disciples that he's going away. Peter, good old boisterous, outspoken, brash, impetuous, bold Peter, says, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered him, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. All 4 Gospels tell the story of Peter denying Jesus, not once, but 3 times. Listen, all 4 of them recorded. I'll read Matthew's account. This is recorded in Matthew. "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. But he denied it before them all. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know the man.' After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away.' Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. In order to fully understand today's story, we need to understand what happened to Peter just weeks earlier. Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Fast forward a few weeks, and when Jesus could really use a man like Peter on his side, Peter declares 3 times that he doesn't even know him. And then the rooster crows. Rejection. That's the first point of our message today. Rejection. We all fail. We all sin. We all have disappointments. Throw it all under rejection. Why in one moment are we loving Jesus, and in the next moment we act as if we don't know Jesus at all? One day we are worshiping and praising God for all that God has done for us. And the next day we act like we have no idea who Jesus is. The next word is resurrection. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection overcomes sin. Resurrection brings light into the darkness. The resurrection conquers doubt. The resurrection overcomes fear. The resurrection brings hope in the midst of failure. The resurrection restores the rejected one. The resurrection brings life out of death. Here's Peter's dilemma. What side of the resurrection will I live on? That's a good question. That's a good so what question. What side of the resurrection are you living on today? What side of the resurrection will you live on tomorrow? One that we should ask ourselves every day, what side of the resurrection am I going to live on? Will Peter live on the side where he rejected knowing Jesus? Or will he allow the resurrection to restore him and live there on the other side? So you have rejection, you have resurrection. The next R word is reconciliation. Finally, breakfast was finished and Jesus spoke. I wonder what was going on with Peter. I can only imagine that Peter's heart must have skipped a beat when he heard the Lord's words, as recorded in verse 15. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? The Lord was asking Simon, do you truly love me? After all that has happened, Peter, are you willing to say now that you love me? Jesus' words were cutting to the heart. Jesus said, do you love me more than these? I think that the minute Jesus turned to him and said his name, Peter's heart began to race, his stomach churned, his cheeks burned. Well, and his eyes misted. Maybe he got holy goosebumps or ghost bumps. This was a tense moment. Peter was thinking, here it comes. Jesus wants to have a talk with me about the rooster crowing. Wow. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have our prayer team pray for you. If you have any prayer concerns, you can go to our website, www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write up your prayer. Our prayer team will pray for you. If you need a question or just need to write something, you can always write me, Pastor Dave, at the Seed Christian Fellowship .com. That's my email. I want you to know that you're not alone. Maybe you're feeling a little bit like Peter. Have you ever been where Peter is? We've done something you're not proud of. You've hurt someone you love deeply by your words or actions. Jesus meets Peter right where Peter is. Before the resurrection, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. After the resurrection, Peter disobeys by going fishing instead of waiting. They were told by Jesus to wait. You gotta love Peter. I wonder how many people listening today would be walk in Peter's shoes. Or they're like Peter. After all of Peter's poor choices, I'm sure he is thinking, come on, Jesus, let's get it on. Let's get this over with. Yell at me. Let me have it. Instead of giving Peter the what for, Jesus met Peter right where he was on the sea fishing instead of waiting. One of the so whats for today is for us to hear that Jesus will meet us right where we are too. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your fear, your doubt, your guilt, your shame, your sin, things so closely. But Jesus does. And he wants to meet you right where you're at. Jesus wants to meet you right where you're at. Jesus will meet us in the midst of our tears. Jesus will meet us in the midst of our fears. Jesus will meet us in the midst of our doubts. Jesus will meet us in the midst of our disobedience. Jesus will meet us in the midst of our rejection. Here's an interesting side note. Jesus has addressed Peter as Simon, son of John. which was Peter's name before he met Christ. I believe this is a play on words. Peter's old name, Simon, meant pebble, a light, well, a little small pebble, a light, unstable thing. But Jesus had changed Simon's name to Peter, meaning rock. By calling Peter Simon, Jesus is asking him if he is going back to who he was before he met Jesus, or is he going to be who Jesus sees him to be? Are you going to be a pebble, Peter? Or are you going to be a rock, Peter? I think we can identify with Peter in a lot of ways. I certainly identify with Peter. What this story of Peter teaches us is that God knows the worst about us. He knows our worst. He knows our struggles. He knows what we're facing. He knows our troubles. God knows the worst about us and loves us anyway. If God did not know all things, we might fear that someday something evil in us would spring up to startle God and turn his affection from us. He would say, "Oh, look at that horrible sin. I didn't know that was there. How terrible. That changes everything. I won't have anything to do with you anymore." If God were not omniscient, that's a big fancy word for all-knowing. If God were not omniscient or all-knowing, well, that might happen. But God knows all things. He knows the worst about us and loves us anyway. Let me say that again. God knows the worst about us and loves us anyway. Romans 5:8 teaches us that this is what the story here teaches us here. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Well, let's go back to the campfire. We've wandered off. Jesus now says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" In the Greek, there are four major words for love, while in the English, we have one word for love. The word that Jesus uses here for love is agapeo, which means unconditional, absolute, unrestricted, 100% love. Peter replied with the Greek word philio, which is brotherly or friend love. Agapeo love would be 100% love, while filial love would be maybe 60% love. Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you love me 100%? And Peter responds, "Jesus, you know, I love you, but look at what I just did in denying you. The truth would be that while I want to say I love you 100%, the truth is I only love you 60%. To which Jesus replies, "Feed my sheep." Don't miss the commands. Even though Peter can only love him 60%, Jesus still calls Peter back into ministry to feed his sheep, the children. Then Jesus asks Peter a second time if he loves him 100%, agapeo. And Peter responds again with, "Well, Lord, you know, I love you 60%, filio." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep," the adults. Finally, the third time Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Jesus uses the Greek word filio instead of agapeo. In essence, Jesus is saying, "I know, but you're human, and you cannot love me 100% like I love you. If you love me 60%, you can still feed my sheep." This is what I'm calling resurrection reconciliation. Jesus offers Peter the restoration that only the empty tomb can offer. Restoration comes to Peter right there on the shore of Galilee. So what? Let's wrap this up and bring it home, Pastor Dave. I know that I'm going to do something that would cause my homiletics professor, my preaching professor, to fail me with a big red check mark. I'm going to introduce a second scripture to close out our first scripture. When I think of the reconciliation, I think of Peter and how Jesus came back after his resurrection and offered Peter reconciliation and restoration. The Bible is full of many reconciliation experiences. Abraham failed to believe God that he would have a child, so he took matters into his own hands and had a child with his wife's maidservant. Even in that failure, God reconciled with Abraham and blessed him with a son when he was almost 100 years old. How about Ruth and Naomi as they are reconciled through the unfailing love of God? From the line of Ruth, we have the We have a king called David, the shepherd boy, who becomes king, not just a king, but the greatest king of Israel. Yet David failed terribly when he had an affair with Bathsheba, who became pregnant. David had her husband killed on the front lines. He didn't want anyone to know that Bathsheba's baby was his. Instead, he has her husband killed because he would have known that the baby would have not been his while fighting for King David's war like a good soldier. God confronted King David through the prophet Nathan. David confessed his sins, and God reconciled David back to God. In the New Testament, repeatedly we find stories of reconciliation. John Mark, who had terribly failed Paul and Barnabas, was reconciled with God and eventually wrote the Gospel of Mark. We also have Peter. He writes his letters. Then there's Paul, who pursued the Christians and had many of them beaten and killed. Jesus met Paul on a road to Damascus and reconciled Paul to himself. Maybe this is why Paul was so strong on writing about reconciliation. Listen to these words in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what? What does all this mean? As you all know, I was in Illinois a few weeks ago. On the way there and during that week, I spent some time writing in my journal on this passage. Maybe this is what led me to take my dad out to see my brother. I need to tell you that for 12 years, I have been telling my dad that he needed to go and tell my brothers that he was sorry. 10 years ago, my dad had open heart surgery at the age of 80. His pastor at the time was one of my spiritual directors. Pastor John kept telling my dad that God didn't take him because my dad still had time to work out his reconciliation. My dad is a funny guy. As he recovered from his heart surgery, my dad thought that planting or a harvest or driving a truck was what he should do. A few years ago, my dad made a great grace-based weekend. God works in our delays. For 12 years, God was working with my dad and setting up a day when my dad could look at his sons face to face and tell them that he was sorry and that he loved them. Wow. Look again at those words, be reconciled. Step one, God made us right with him. That's the action that's done. Step two, there's a message and a ministry of reconciliation. Step three, we accept that and go out and serve. Here's the hard one. Remember, if we've been offended or we have offended someone, we go and say that we're sorry. Nothing is impossible with God. I know that's a lot, but there's a whole lot more we could talk about this. If you have questions on reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I can tell you the miracle that God did in my family's life. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and be reconciled. God loves you, and so do I. God bless. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.